Alex, sit down.
Guys, so we're doing behavior management now, which is going to be mostly led by Tara, as well as I'm sure most of you have heard of Strikes. And for those of you who are new leaders, new to camp and everything else, Strikes are what we give to kids when they're being especially naughty. And three strikes and you're out of camp. You can get multiple strikes for some incidents, like drinking as a kid is three
instant.
Strikes.
No, that's it. It's
immediate, like expulsion from camp, everything else. And we're just going to talk about strikes, what happens, who gives strikes out, when to give strikes out. The answer is pretty much don't. It should be just left to the camp leader and stuff, but we're going to go through all that now and have a discussion about punishment and everything. Well, not punishment, but disciplining and managing children's bad behavior, which happens a lot. And Tara's going to take the lead.
All right, so I'm going to start with types of behavior and then just some simple strategies on how to prevent and manage behavior. I popped in earlier, if you want to look on with me, I popped earlier in the chat two different graphics. So we'll look at first of like different types of behavior, and which is like the first image with like the four squares, if anyone has reception. But basically this is like I have, because I'm a teacher, I have training in behavior management. However, in saying that, my school is very, very good. I work at an all-girls school with, and like Gemma, where is she, Gemma, is an ex-student. And like, basically I have 1,200 Gemmas. So it's actually, I feel that, yeah, I have training in this, but maybe the experience, like you guys probably who have been leaders for a long time probably have, yeah, a lot that you can add in here as well. So there are four types of behaviors, and as I read these out maybe you'll start to notice some of these behaviors in yourself. But the first is withdrawn, and so withdrawn behaviors include like shyness, but not just like normal like shyness, like extreme shyness, rocking, staring, anxiety, social phobia, truancy, social isolation, or hand flapping. Hand flapping, you might not see it very often in like, it's more like young kids, more C group age kids, but it's kind of like the, like I'm stressed, I'm tense, I'm fidgeting. So that's something to look out. That's like a kind of a type of like withdrawn behavior to look out, maybe with like the younger kids, maybe like 8 and below. And then there's disruptive behaviors, and that's like your back chat, calling out in group setting, tantrums, swearing, screaming, and refusing to follow instructions. So in terms of sort of the types of behavior that we probably most commonly see are the withdrawn, maybe like social anxiety behaviors, and the disruptive, like, oh, I don't want to do that. Why are we doing that? Or calling out like when we're having discussions or someone's trying to give instructions. So those are probably the two that we do see most at camp. However, there are two other categories. One is violent or / unsafe, and that's behaviors such as headbanging, kicking, biting, punching, fighting, running away, smashing equipment or furniture and fixtures. And I say that it doesn't happen often at Sodom, but maybe we do have like an incident every year. I know that we did this year.
And the year before that.
Happens occasionally.
Yeah. So it's, thankfully it's, we don't have to deal with it too much, but yeah, that it has been happening a little bit. And then this one, again, it has happened in the past, but it's a little bit more uncommon. So it's called inappropriate social, and that is behaviors such as inappropriate conversations, stealing, being over affectionate, or inappropriate touching. So that's another one to look out for, but thankfully we haven't had to deal with too much of that. Yeah. The past couple of years. So now if we just jump to the next graphic, so here are just some ideas on, oh, and by the way, these are just the previous graphic, the types of behaviors, like there's so many more I could probably list or put under these categories, but these are kind of like the big four. And I guess the first two boxes are the most common ones that we see at camp. So the next graphic, I've just popped this together and I'll probably post it again closer to camp so you can just refresh your memory, but here are just some strategies with behavior management. The first one is prevention first. So it is, there's like most of behavior management is all in like preventing things from occurring. And so that starts with like defining expectations. So you know that, well, with our hut orientations, we sit down, we talk about the camp rules with our dare and
do essential agreements.
And essential agreements. So for those who are new, an essential agreement is kind of like, they're almost like rules that the hut has come up with as a team of how they want to treat each other and be treated. And it's really great because if they're writing their own rules, then they have like more onus to like actually follow them.
We have noticed the huts that do that versus the huts that don't do that function better with their behavior. So it's really encouraged that hut leaders do that with their huts on the first day.
Yeah, yeah. So like an example might be that let's all agree that we're not going to like touch each other's things without asking. And then if that incident was to occur, you could
refer back.
Oh, didn't we agree that we weren't going to touch each other's belongings? Oh yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. So again, just, yeah, a really good preventative strategy. Another thing is anticipating potential difficulties and just watching kids for signs and symptoms. And it really takes more just observation. It's really important to probably sit with your hut at least one meal a day, just so you can start to like observe them, because especially as they start to get tired, they're going to bicker more with each other, and the boys will, well, not just the boys, the girls, get into more fights, arguments, etc. So it's really important to kind of like, yeah, monitor for those, for the just types of, we'll just see, yeah, monitor their attitudes so that you can kind of then maybe deflect or also have like backup, especially with the B group kids, like have backup activities to then like reduce the potential of bickering. So I know that like a big issue that we had is like during rest period, maybe like B group boys, they don't want to sleep. And like obviously like we didn't want them playing table tennis because then they'll be too loud and just like it was a time that they should have probably been like resting during like a low impact activity. So maybe just have some things, depending on what hut you're given, just have some activities up your sleeves, like some quiet kind of sit down activities, or it's a card game or just something where
sleeping alone.
Chill out at the same time. I know that on the B group girls veranda we have like jewelry making going on, or yeah, Lisa comes down and does some like cool crafty things for the kids who don't want to like sleep. So just,
I've done puzzles in the past, like
great idea.
Yeah, I had a quiet box where I had like colouring in,
that works really
Uno,
well,
deck of cards, some beaded stuff.
Yeah, because if you have those things for the kids to do, again, it's prevention, it's preventing like misbehaviour to occur.
And they love it.
Yeah.
The name of the quiet box does sound a little ominous.
Do you want the quiet box? The other thing that that does, though, is that you engage with the kids and they love you guys being around them. So it's something you're doing with them in rest period or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have your attention, basically.
Yeah. So prevention is like your 60% of behavior management. But then obviously misbehavior is still going to occur. We're all human. So when it does happen, and when it happens to like in your presence and you have to like deal with it as a leader, as an activity leader, or as like a hut leader, the main point is first of all, just to stay calm. It is not a power struggle. Basically, you're never going to win. It's like internet trolls. Like you can never win with an internet troll because they'll just keep fighting back, and there's never any resolution. So you just have to, you can't take it personally. You can't think, oh, they're acting out because they don't like me, or because they're not having a good time, or yeah, just put that out of your mind. And if you approach them in like with a calm voice and a calm manner, and also with respectful language, they will also, they're just more likely to listen to you. So what you don't want to do is, this is like the power stance, and especially when you're dealing one-on-one with a kid, power stance is just is not the way to go, because like it's very aggressive.
How would you do it then, Tara? Like, say they're out. Like,
you're actually probably
you're getting primary school flashbacks.
Even taking someone and standing outside with them is also a little bit too aggressive. You probably want to like, hey, let's just sit down and have a quick chat. That's probably the way that I would deal with it, rather than like a one-on-one thing.
Even in front of the others?
I was going to say, so the next point is remove the audience. because, basically research shows that it is more productive to, like, address a child away from their peers. They're more likely to be, like, responsive to you and what you have to say. So, don't, like, embarrass them in front of their peers. Like, I know it's kind of fun, and some kids you can have a bit of a joke with, but, yeah, you're better off just taking them to the side. And also, like, part of behavior management is, like, you want it to be also, you can't just think, oh, okay, I'll talk to them in, like, 2 hours' time after activities is over. No, if possible, like, the reason why with activities, we have, like, multiple leaders on activities. So if somebody quickly has to, like, take someone aside, they can. But obviously with child protection, just don't be, like, in a room or somewhere where no one can see you. Just don't be out of eyesight with, like, yeah, a child alone. And obviously if you need help, just, yeah, radio someone else in as well. So what do you actually do in that nice sit down chat? Well, the next box.
I love the next box.
It's a really, really, really big box, but basically it's the main thing I want you to remember is don't ask why questions. Like, why were you late? Why were you not paying attention? Why are you not paying attention? Why are you calling out? How do you feel when I'm asking these why, when I'm saying these why questions?
Yeah, targeted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, if you, I don't know, it's very confronting, and sometimes
it makes you feel defensive.
Yes, like, immediately you have to go on the defensive, like, oh, why were you like, oh, this happened and this happened and all my excuses here. And you're also more likely to be lied to as well by asking why questions, because they'll make up excuses or reasons for why they did things. So you are better off asking questions that focus directly on their behavior. So I have a list here. So the first one is, like, how they felt. Oh, how did you feel about this? First of all, how do you feel? Are you hurt? Are you angry? Are you sad and upset? So, afraid, rejected. And then, if another child was involved, what did so-and-so do to cause you to react? Did they do something that hurt you, or did they say something? Yeah. So kind of get the whole story there.
It killed me. It was horrible.
did this child do or anything which may have caused the incident? So you don't want to put you don't want to assume all the blame on them. So you just kind of want to, let them give their version of the events.
Could you say something like, oh, what led you to doing that sort of thing? Like,
yeah, basically anything except for why. Like,
just not why.
Yeah, okay. just not why did you do that. But
so what, how, like all those
problems. Yeah.
All
the
other
things. They'll be less on the offensive. Yeah.
This is important, because we're going to be talking about this in feedback later.
Hmm.
Same thing.
And then the most important, so that part, this part of the, that first part of the conversation should be relatively, unless it's a really serious incident, that part should probably be quite brief, but then you want to focus most on the conversation of how can they make things better and what could they do to prevent the situation from happening again. So you want to, like, turn the conversation into, like, a really positive one and allow them opportunity for, like, reflection and growth. And it generally just helps them feel just a little bit better about themselves, even because, like, behaviors that we see at camp, like, might be just normal behaviors for kids at home. Like, maybe, I don't know, mum and dad swear at home. So swearing and, I don't know, calling out is just, it's just something normal in their family. But at camp, obviously, it's not okay. So, yeah, it's about, like, making them not feel bad about what they did either. So some examples of what they could do to prevent the situation from happening again: tell a leader, walk away, stop and think, calm themselves down, apologize, take time to chill out, express anger in ways that aren't harmful to themselves or others. And that's kind of like when, again, it's good to have, like, the quiet box or other things, like, oh, did you think maybe next time you could, if you're feeling this way, Christy's got some activities in her quiet in the quiet box that you can go do.
Or even just happy 5 breaths of that, just to calm the dad at all.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, like, kids aren't really, like, aware of these strategies unless we kind of let them know. And then the final one is follow up. And then this does prevent reoccurrences in the future. And if they have, if you've noticed that they've corrected their behavior, then just like a brief and encouraging word can actually go a long way. You can just be like, oh, I'm really proud of you for, your participation activities today. It can just be one sentence and that can really, make the day. All right, so that's my infographic done there. A quick 5 minutes on behavior management.
It's good, comprehensive.
A lot. Some of those things I wish I'd had last year.
Yeah,
so due to an incident that occurred.
Now we have it.
Yeah, good. And again, I'll post these pictures again just before camp so you can refresh. Yeah, refresh your memory.
Maybe something as well that we could print up and have in the leaders' hut. So
we have previously had a behaviour management thing, but this is simple and quick. And I think we had that printed up.
And obviously when things require escalation, obviously please get Marissa and Eric involved because obviously some things do constitute a strike. And one thing that doesn't really fit in this behavior management box is bullying is actually a really difficult thing to kind of deal with, and probably involves a lot more conversation and definitely getting Marissa and Eric involved, because bullying is often not just a one-off incident, but it's something that's continually happening. Yeah, it's a pattern that's just repetitive. So that's definitely, we need to get someone else involved.
I guess giving you guys some insights, when things like bullying or things that we escalate occur, Eric and I, or previously Andrew and I, didn't unilaterally just make all these decisions. We speak to different people about how to manage these kids, depending on who they are. Quite often, if their parent is there, we will talk to their parent. What do you normally do at home? Is this normal for them? How do we manage it before we even go and talk to the kid? So it's not just us going, we're going to make these decisions on these kids, because we've got time and the resources to do the right thing by the kid, which is why it's really important that we do know about these incidences, especially before they get really bad, because some kids in particular might have certain ways that their parents manage it at home. We can talk to them, find it out, and relay the information to you guys. And then oh cool, we can do that with the kid in the hut. And it's kind of, is that preventative sort of strategy? Eric or Andrew, do you have anything to say about that?
I guess part of that is just sometimes, some of you will meet these kids for the first time. You'll have no context of their home life, their family life, their history. And something will happen to Kevin, you'll be like, what the fuck do I do? If you come and speak to Marissa, Eric, myself, we might have that history or that context from previous year as well. So don't be afraid, that even if you're like, I think something might happen, but you don't have anything to sort of go on to sort of be preventative, you can speak to us, because we obviously know some of these kids from the past years and what they're like, or is that kid going to be a problem on the fifth day? Or
so Andrew dealt a lot with the behavioural stuff, more than what I did, and then Eric was doing it quite well at the end of camp last year. So Andrew would be a really good resource to ask, this person's behaviour, is this normal for them, from previous year? Obviously, they grow up 1 year from what they were before, but we find that, or we say that, but then they're actually just as bad, if not worse, sometimes. So
some are fine, some
are worse. Definitely use Andrew as a resource to understand those behaviours. And you had some difficult behaviour as well this year as well.
I was about to say, the main thing I wish I had that was an issue where I had to give a strike at, but separate to that, I found out with the younger boys that they were just being, it was difficult to motivate them. But we found a very good thing, we just could not get them to sit down and talk about what they wanted to do with Skit. So at a mealtime, I just went to Marissa and went, help. Sat down and said, all right, guys, we need to tell Marissa what our Skit is. And just using that, some motivation of
terrified.
Scare tactics. No, it wasn't even scare tactics. It's kind of she's looking forward to this. You've got to do it to impress her.
I literally went and sat with them and I was like, what's your Skit, boys? And
they were just deer in the headlights. But then after that, the motivation came, and that's all it needed. It was just a little something like that.
You reframed the situation.
Some motivation. And
Me to another point. Thank you. Here's another point. Because of there were strikes given out last year that, it's not the strike that was given out, it's the way that it was given, and that's fine because you guys aren't understanding of how to do that. Eric and I made a decision that only he and I are going to give out strikes. You might have a kid that might be really upsetting and you want to give them a strike, but just say, I'm going to go talk to the camp leader about this, and then we will come at an appropriate time and in an appropriate way give them the strike once we have all the information, or talk to the kid and may or may not give a strike, I don't know. But so it's only Eric and I that are going to give strikes out this year, and it takes that responsibility and burden off you guys as well.
The other thing too is you might not on the information thing, if you only have like half the story, like you could give out a strike erroneously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it to the wrong person. Like if someone's being picked on and then they lash out, then who's really at fault there? Obviously, nobody should be like violent, but there's often more than one side to a story when these kinds of things happen. So it's good to have all that information instead of just immediately
even
saying.
If it's kind like, of can't, you can't really take it back.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you can't take it back.
And
no.
Also having the outside figures help as well, because you could be having an emotional day as well, and this white kid's just triggered it, and you go straight to it. Where having Marissa or Eric as well do it, at least said you're getting an outside opinion, you're not having a biased opinion.
And it also doesn't make you the bad guy to the kids you have to spend the rest of the week with.
And the other side of it too is, like, you guys may keep out a strike, and that's fine, but it may take like an hour or two to come on that Eric and I know. By that stage, the parent gossip tree has already started, and they come at us, like, why is my kid getting a strike? I'm like, what? Wait a minute, like, hold on. So it's easier if we keep all that stuff under wraps until, you know, we do it, and then it's official, and we do generally let the parent know that their child has gotten a strike, and for whatever the reason is, so then it's very clear, and it's they understand that this has happened, and then there's none of this gossiping and questioning and that sort of stuff.
Is that even if it's a pretty straightforward thing? Like, the only reason I've ever given out a strike is when I caught a kid smoking, or he smelled so much of smokes, and at that time,
if it's
we were
alcohol
able
and
to,
cigarettes, then
how do you?
I would probably.
Would you guys,
would, I mean, Eric and I can.
I mean, it's
going to
be
this.
A strike anyway. But
that is going to be a strike.
You'd say this is very likely going to be a strike. I'll be back with Marissa and Eric.
Yeah,
cool.
That's
good. A good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think on that topic as well.
Stay out there,
we're going to
be right back. No, it didn't happen. give me that bottle.
you like what's left from the latest out of the end of the day.
Sorry, Andrew, did you have a point?
I was going to say, certain things like this may not be, it may not be pertinent to announce everything over the radio. You might sort of say,
No,
really. Do you want to go the possum conversation?
Yeah.
You might say something like, Marissa or Eric, I need your help with management, behaviour management, rather than go, Marissa, I need to report a strike.
So basically, everyone, we're on a normal radio channel, and if we have something sensitive, you say, like, you know, Marissa possum is the code word, and then we go to an agreed number, somebody like possum 7 or something. And then myself and the other person will go to 7. Please don't jump to that channel. I mean, if you're not around kids, it doesn't really matter. It's about being not around kids and parents. I don't really care. If it's really private, obviously a phone call is more important. Yeah, so you go possum 7, and then the people involved will go to that channel, and then they'll start talking about it. The idea is, if you get calls to that channel and you have a radio on you, and you go to that channel, don't be around kids and parents.
Remove yourself from it.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
The only reason you'll be listening if you're not involved in that is just for gossip reasons. Yeah. And you've got to find out at the leaders meeting anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So you should be doing a job.
But yeah, so Eric and I will give out the strikes. In terms of smoking and drinking, you had a good strategy. Just say we're going to go get...
Isn't drinking
the
immediate three strikes?
Yeah,
exactly.
Just
so
I'm going to go get the camp leader, and we're going to talk about this, basically. And it would be
that's
the
actually good.
Kids.
That's actually a good line.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this with the camp leader now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it
important.
Needs to be addressed
yeah.
on the spot
yeah.
immediately.
Yeah.
And I feel like coming from you guys, it's much more, like, intense as well. It's like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it reinforces, like, their authority as well. And
come to the principal's office.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Would it be reductive in a sense of saying, for example, please make a drinking or at least a serious behaviour, to say that, you know, the punishment for this can be a strike? Is that like a reminder that there's a possibility, or is it just better to be like...
I think just getting Eric and I,
yeah,
and we can talk about it with them, because we would decide, like, based on what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't want you guys to be the bad guy as well.
Yeah.
We want you guys to be the good ones that they respect and they want to look up to and that sort of stuff. Let us be the bad guys and say, look, this can be a strike or whatever, and talk to them about it.
And hopefully it's rare enough that it's not something you're really thinking of every day.
Anyway. Yeah.
The other thing is things that do constitute strikes. So swearing is one that we've said in the past is
but
a strike.
But people don't get strikes for it. Like,
people don't get strikes for it. I've often said to the older kids, I don't mind if you swear as long as you don't do it in front of the younger kids.
Mm.
I mean, if I see you do it in front of the younger kids, you'll be in like
there
shit.
Will be consequences.
You'll be right shit.
But if it's in your own hut, then it's just you and your mates. Like, it's not a big deal, just don't let the parents or the kids hear it. And
just discourage it where possible. Yeah, swearing is the best strategy.
It's similar with phones as well. Like, I don't mind if the older kids are playing on their phones in their huts, but I don't want the younger kids to be seeing that and thinking they should walk around on their phones all day at camp.
See, when Tammy does her A group talk, because she's now the commandant, that's the sort of stuff she would be talking to A group about.
Sure,
will
be.
Fucking oath. It would be the distinction as well. It would be the distinction of people like aggressively swearing directly at someone.
Yeah.
Let's flip one out.
Wrong palm card. Sorry, wrong conversation, guys.
The other thing, so things that would normally cost you dry is destruction of property, so smashed windows, broken, like, sport and rec stuff being ruined, things like that. Bullying, violence of any kind, of slapping, fighting, punching, biting, kicking, any of that stuff is you know, immediate escalation.
Out of bounds stuff.
Yeah, out of bounds.
Child safety. If they're doing something that's really unsafe, but putting them or other kids at home. Yep.
Being in the pool unsupervised.
There's been an incident in the past where kids have run up on that sail on the Sergi sail. That's a strike as
they
well.
They were sea groupers.
So it usually is just things that are putting themselves or others in danger, or just generally ruining the experience of everyone else around them. Most of the kids are good. It's just, and you don't want to give out strikes and get them in trouble, but unfortunately sometimes things get broken, or they do dangerous things, or they're just being
shits.
Yeah, that's the word for it. Is there anything else that you could think of that would be an immediate escalation, or is it more contextual?
Yeah, it's more contextual, like with what goes on. Yeah.
The fighting, bullying, and destruction. Theft is...
Yeah, maliciously stealing stuff from people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Arson would fall under the yourself in danger category as well. Yeah.
Being caught out at night.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Outside their huts at night.
Yeah, because that comes under out of bounds and safety and putting yourself at risk.
That's 100%
Boys and girls and girls and boys.
We used to like run around trying not to get caught. It was fun. I don't know what happened to you guys.
You got beaten out of
us. Probably us. We probably still can't read that they were allowed.
Probably can't leadership.
Phones.
Really downhill in the past few years.
We
couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, we had.
We
to
were
like,
old school. We were landlords.
We actually had to go to each other's huts to talk.
Yeah, we had to sneak out.
Especially the old leader's hut where there was an orange telecom phone. You had to put in your 40 cents. Tara,
hut two, hut two.
Tara, no.
He's lying.
Oh dear. The meeting point was the old block.
Awesome.
Alright, any other things to strikeable? We usually record them as well in a book, and we talk about strikes given out at the nightly meeting. Not like a really long-winded story, but just like, you know, this person got a strike for behaviour today, this person got a strike for swearing, this person got a warning for swearing, that
in,
sort of
in
thing.
In the past it was so that we mostly had a tally. Going forwards it would more be so everyone's informed. Probably keep an eye on this person.
Yeah.
Like, check their behavior
cruise. As well as that, it's like, say David's been swearing all week, it's like he's got a warning for swearing. We all need to know that David should not be swearing in activities anymore in front of the little kids.
Yeah.
Like that, they have a warning. Like,
yeah, so that everyone knows, oh, okay, he's not to get into trouble, or not to do that anymore, or he gets into trouble, so.
Yeah. All right.
Chris John has to stop with all the arson.
But the thing with the warnings, well, like, if you give a kid a warning for something, it's important to let Marissa and Eric know straight away so that they can keep track. Well, this kid in the morning got like 3 or 4 warnings, then...
Now I need to do something about it.
Now something needs to be done.
When do you give a warning versus...
Well, it's more just like if they're like swearing or on their phones, like in Sergi style, like I walk past like some of the older boys and they're just like, shit. Like, because they're on their phones, like being, they shouldn't be in the public spot with that. Yeah.
Maybe an accidental swear rather. You know, someone stubbed their toe.
Like Ella, swearing.
Versus a aggressive swear, if that makes sense.
Mm.
An on purpose one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. If you're not sure, you just check with.
Okay. You'll be like in your Ruffadance world. You'll just have no idea of what's going on.
No swearing in Ruffadance.
What about that dance?
Part of the activity.
Go
on.
What
are they doing at the end? But Estonian only has one swear word, so like, you know.
The next thing kind of on this is that as Christian just mentioned, parents are very gossipy as well. So I've had in the past parents come up to me and ask about, hey, this incident happened. What are you doing? What's the gossip of that? And you missed this. I think you missed it this morning. Was it this morning we were talking about before they got here?
Yeah.
Just deflect if parents come to you. Be like, I'm not sure exactly the full scenario. We talked to camp leader, Marissa and Eric, or whatever. Like, I'm not fully informed. I don't want to give you the wrong information. Go talk to them. And we said that this morning. What we reiterated, if it's something you're not 100% on, just deflect it onto us, and then we can catch the funnel at the bottom. But sometimes the parents can corner you, and I was kind of
cornered very badly cornered last
by
year.
A parent last year about an incident that happened, and he was very, I don't know, upset with me. And the best thing to do is to, you're talking about their own kid, but and say, hey, yeah, this is what your child was involved with, this is what happened, this is the as much of the story that matters to you, but the moment they start saying, well, you know, this kid was involved, did he get punished? You go, doesn't matter. You don't need to know about any other kids. Like, I will talk to you about your son and your child, but I will not talk to you about everyone else that was involved in this incident because it's not your business.
And again, if that's too much for you, please just tell them to come and see us and we can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's a hard thing to have a parent at you like that.
In that example, the child was in Eric's hut, so that's why they...
Yeah, that's why they were to Eric. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Eric didn't know who this parent was, but I know who the parent was, so it would have helped as well, like, even if Eric didn't explain it to me, but...
Yeah.
Because he really got cornered.
I was literally cornered in the barbecue area. I could have, like, jumped off the back wall. That was my only escape route.
And I think, like, without sounding really, like, rude, disrespectful, but realistic... The parents will know that you guys are all very new at this, and they will try and get information out of you, especially in this kind of stuff, because they want to know and they're not sure that you'll not give them too much. So just be very aware of that. And the camp is... Estonians are very gossipy.
But the parents can smell fear.
They can. And I don't want to make a situation between us and them. It's just something that you need to be aware of and just refer them to Eric and I, because... That's what we do basically all camp, is talk to parents and manage them.
And is that part of the talk that you do? Because I feel like in the past it's been like, if you have an issue with your kid, talk to the tare, but now you're telling us.
We'll tell them to come talk to us, because we've got so many young leaders. I think we need to get them to talk to us rather than
just want to make sure that they're not expecting it from us.
Yeah, communicate it as well to Eric and Russo. These parents just confronted me today, just so you know. If we're all on the same page, we can work as a strong team. Where if we don't communicate, that's where things start to fall apart.
Mm.
And some parents will pick up on that and try to take advantage of it too.
And if you guys are feeling overwhelmed with the situation, with a parent or with a child or whatever, it's for your own safety or whatever, come and talk to me and we can debrief it. Like, I'm trained in, like, debriefing people properly, and we can discuss it and we can give you strategies. Like, I don't want you to leave it till the end of the day. Like, my priority is making sure you guys are okay. So come and talk to me about it straight away. I can drop whatever else I'm doing and come talk to you. That's really important for you guys to understand that. So your mental health and well-being is probably my biggest priority for camp, as well as the other stuff. But that's one of the biggest things that we do.
And on that exact topic, if you think, oh, I just had a terrible run-in with a parent, but I'll go talk to Marissa after this activity that I'm rostered on. If it's bad enough, you think, shit, I'm going to stop up this activity.
Don't.
Let Marissa know and go speak to Marissa. And
I can sort things out, but I can get other people onto things. It's fine. Yeah, I can cover you.
Don't sort of overdo things.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're stressed or
cute.
Upset.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
I think that's all covered for behaviour management. Anybody else got any questions?
Siggy has a lot of questions.
Not about behaviour.
He needs a coffee. I'm going to stop the recording for behaviour management.